the significance of this river, the Whanganui River, it's as significant to Whanganui iwi as any other Maori group would say their river is significant to them. Whanganui iwi have a particular proverb where they talk about, I am the river and the river is me. So part of the Maori worldview is that the river is a kind of key marker of identity. It's understood to be an ancestor in quite a literal sense. So the kind of Maori worldview is all based around relationships, and essentially it's based around relationships which are understood as kinship. And so that includes relationships with people, but it also includes the kind of relationships people have with the natural environment. There's a very kind of close connection between those communities, those Maori communities that live along the river.
Why a legal ruling to say that this river is in fact a person? What's the motivation behind that?
The way in which Whanganui iwi, so the Maori from around there, they were looking for a way of giving effect to their understanding of how they relate to that waterway. And so part of that was about negotiating this idea of giving it legal personality. But alongside that, there were other things, like part of what the legislation does is it ensures that the river is understood not only just as the kind of physical dimensions of the river, but it's understood as having a metaphysical aspect to it as well, that it's understood as being one complete entity. So it's not broken up and divided depending on which kind of jurisdiction or territorial authority it goes through. It's actually understood as being one holistic whole. And the key part of that is that now the management of the river has to be essentially required to be done in a way which is in the best interest of the river itself.
Does that mean that the river does look after itself, or do the people who live in the town close by, or the town that is connected to this river, do they still have management over it?
There will be appointed, a single entity actually, to act as a guardian for the river, and that will be made up of one person appointed from the Maori community and then one government appointee. And so those two people together will act as the guardian of the river. And they will be the kind of human agents, if you like, in this process. They will be making decisions and exercising powers, but ultimately not for the interests of their community, but they're required to make it in the best interests of the river itself. There are some other advisory and strategy groups that sit underneath them and that provide input from local government councils and also conservation groups, tourism groups, to participate in that process as well.
What is it about this particular ruling? Aren't there other means to secure its protection?
Although this is going to, we hope, have some real benefits in terms of the conservation of the river and conservation values, that's not its primary purpose. Its main purpose is to recognise the claims of the community there and give them an opportunity to have input into decisions about the river. And the way that they said they wanted that to happen, they said that the closest English law equivalent that they could see for reflecting their understanding of their relationship was this concept of legal personality. I mean, we have legal personality for other things which are not people. So our company has legal personality, for example. So it's just a mechanism to try and give effect to collective interests of the shareholders, and in the case of this river, to give effect to what are deemed to be the interests of the river itself.
Are there any criticisms around allocating things legal personality?
Yes, there have been, and some people say, well, this is just kind of mumbo jumbo, and we shouldn't be recognising this with legislation, and how can a river possibly have interests of its own? But, I mean, I've actually been surprised how small a minority that view is. And actually, I think partly because it does address those issues of conservation that a lot of people are concerned about. A lot of people who have interactions with the Whanganui River will be concerned about the health of that waterway. And I think people do see this as an opportunity to really improve the health of the river.
There was actually going to be a government follow-up in terms of also setting up a fund to enhance the river's health and well-being. Is that alongside the ruling of it to have legal personality, or is that something that's then been decided as the people who will be appointed to look after it?
Yes, so it's all been part of the same settlement. So it's been part of a settlement which has been negotiated between government and the local Māori there. Those are all parts of this settlement, and they've all been given effect now by this piece of legislation. And I should add that the other kind of important thing about the settlement too, it also sets out a whole lot of kind of key values which everyone involved has now effectively signed up to.
And so what are those?
There's a whole lot of them, but they include those things like understanding the river system as a single holistic entity. They include things like understanding the relationship that people have with the river, both as a kind of physical resource, but also as a providing spiritual nourishment, if you like. So it is intended not just for whanganui iwi to have more the management of this river. I mean, they could have done that by, having a seat on the regional council or something like that. But instead, what it's attempting to do is to sort of change the way everybody conceptualizes their relationship with that river and provide opportunities for other types of communities to also have input.
India did follow suit in a way that then allocated legal personality to two of their rivers. So by ruling this particular river with this legal entitlement, do you see that as one that crosses geographical borders in terms of they've picked up on this too, so they must have a similar kinship to certain parts of their landscape as well?
Yeah. And I think, I mean, this is an idea which there has been interest from other parts of the world in this idea of legal personality. So it's something that, for example, since the 1970s has kind of been discussed. There are some places in Latin America. So Ecuador, for example, has a constitutional protection of the rights of nature. And so that idea of the rights of nature is something a lot of people are kind of talking about. And this is just one of the kind of first examples of it being given quite specific enactment. So it's an idea that obviously resonates with them as well.